Hey, MedTalkers, welcome back to MedTalks. In today's episode, we will be talking to Sahar Jahanikia, a wonderful mentor who used to be a researcher and lab manager at Stanford University, but she now works at ASDRP to guide high school students in conducting amazing scientific research. We're so glad to have you on the podcast with us today. So just for some quick context, MedTalks is a podcast all about biotechnology. So we dive into various biotech fields and innovations, and then we talk about like the pros, cons, ethics, and future of those topics. So today we just wanted to ask you some questions about your field of interest. So what field do you have the most experience in and why does it interest you?
I would like to first say hi to the audience. Thanks for having me in your podcast. So area of interest, of course, when it comes to area of interest, everything about STEM takes my attention. However, I'm all about interdisciplinary science. I do not believe in choosing one science and being expert in that. Bridging between science and technology is something that I am mostly fascinated. I started my research by pursuing bioinformatics, but then later on I noticed that I would like to understand the mystery of brain. So neuroimaging is the core area of my research. Collecting any kind of brain activities using any current neuroimaging modalities to analyzing that is something that is my core area of interest and expertise. Analyzing MRI data, EEG, simultaneous MRI, EEG, and functional near-infrared spectroscopy or FNIRs. But when it comes to neuroimaging techniques, it's something that fascinates me the most, and that's my expertise.
Wow, that's great. I know that neuroimaging and neuroscience has a lot of applications in today's world. It's a very rapidly growing field because of all the technology applications and all of that. So that's amazing to hear. So you talked a little bit about your field. So we wanted to ask you what kind of research you've done in the past. If you could give like a brief or just a broad summary of kind of where you've worked on before.
Okay. So I would like to go back to where I've done my master's in bioinformatics, which I was working on DNA-RNA interaction and looking at the interaction using simulation. I did 2.5 years as a PhD candidate research. However, I left my PhD. As you can see, I'm no more a doctor. But I think that changed a lot of things because over time, I noticed that it's me doing the PhD for the sake of PhD and not because I'm fascinated. I work at the tech for some period of time and I still had my heart with research in academia. So I started pursuing neuroscience by working as a neuroimaging researcher. So I work on basically understanding the memory, the underlying memory when I was working at UCSF. So that was basically analyzing a lot of neuroimaging to see the connectivity of the brain. So at UCSF, I did mostly neuroimaging research. My area of, core area of research was analyzing MRI data associated with memory. It was during this time that I noticed that I want to extend my knowledge of neuroimaging just beyond MRI. And that's where I started my second project on EEG, understanding each and every available EEG devices, and got my second project working on EEG data. But then after that, I joined Stanford University, where I started working on multiple projects and collaboration with Stanford Center for Design Research to understand the creativity and the concept of implementing when people are using the concept of design thinking and see how kind of their brain works, understanding that through MRI. I also work on simultaneous MRI EEG, which is one of the challenging things because the entire EEG data is kind of noise associated with MRI. So like cleaning of data is like coming as the most difficult and challenging part of it. I also work on implementing topological data analysis on near infrared spectroscopy. So before I leave, I was working on a creativity project to understand the mechanism of thinking for entrepreneurs. And also I designed my own montage for the resting state montage cap for FNIRS using MRI data that we had available. So I kind of understand the network of the brain that we got it through MRI, design it on the montage of the brain, montage cap of FNIRS and collect resting states to understand the resting state network of the brain using FNIRS. So as you can see, everything around neuroimaging and cognitive neuroscience has been my area of expertise. But since I had a computational background, it never just stopped at kind of analyzing the data, but rather statistical analysis and later data science and machine learning. So at Stanford, I took data science, machine learning courses and classes while I was working. So there I started, getting a project from Google and, implementing the machine learning algorithm, and I got an A+. So.
Wow, that's awesome.
Just to emphasize on that. Yes. So while I was, working full time at Stanford in the morning, like 4 o'clock, I was studying for learning machine learning and data science. And you can see that where now it's turning me to an advisor that, I can advise my students to implement data science to solve biological problems, like everything associated with COVID-19 or any, neuroscience related things that questions that we need to apply.
Right.
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, that was a great answer. I can definitely see that you've spread yourself across a multiple variety of neuroimaging techniques, and you didn't just stop there, right? You went to interdisciplinary sciences, you applied computer science, technology, machine learning algorithms. I can see a lot of applications there, and to bring that expertise to help high school students doing research, that's just amazing. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I believe in the power of mentorship, and I think using your brain to learn science, to implement technology and making bridge has no age. There is no age gap as long as you are, because I moved from bioinformatics to neuroscience, and that was the power of having a mentor to walk me through that. And I believe that if you have an expert, a mentor that can help you to learn step by step all that is required, you can pursue anything. Books are there, resources are there, and your mentor is there. So here is your university that you can build by yourself.
Right. I think those claps are perfect for your answer as well. But I mean, there are books, there are resources, but it's the guidance that really helps you learn and grow, right? So, yeah. Okay, cool. So our next question for you was, what has been your greatest setback and your greatest success in your field when you were working in neuroimaging and things like that?
Okay, the setback is degree. And again, age. And at the end is, to some extent, gender. So since I never finished my PhD, I couldn't go through that pipeline of degree, which for so many people was like, oh, if you would have stayed there, you should have at least get a degree, and things would have been very different from academic perspective, because at the end, the degree matters, So while so many people think that was my setback, but it didn't stop me, because always I knew that I'm going to have my own lab and I'm going to mentor people. So irrespective of finishing my PhD or not, I didn't want to have a degree because having a degree is honorable thing to do.
Right.
And if I go back again to that stage, I will still skip it. And I'm happy that I'm not mentoring, postdocs at some prestigious university. I'm happy. I'm literally satisfied, happy, and I think I'm in the best place knowing that I'm mentoring the starting of the line and not finishing point. I'm also happy that my mentoring students at for Gen Z's at early stage can shape their future, and I'll be a part of them. So as for so many people think that that's a setback that I finished my degree, but I kind of do not. On the other hand is age, you know, they expect like a professor or a person who mentors needs to be aged, you know, experienced. But again, yes, with age comes experience, but I can be 50 years old with 50 publications that I read, or I can be 30 years old with 500 publications that I read. So it's all about the knowledge. It's all about the skills. It's all about the passion, the driven passion. And yeah, I mean, being female is kind of a little challenging. You have to prove double, work extra to prove that you're capable of something that a male doesn't, a male researcher or scientist doesn't have to go through that. But yeah, so these are considered as setbacks, though I think for me, they're not setbacks, they're mostly challenges that improved me, helped me think how I can work it in the best way possible.
Right, yeah, I think sometimes it is the challenges that help us go further, right? It's the obstacles that help us grow. And I think that's especially true in your case because, you know, not even the degree or the doctorate, like you were set on mentorship and you're making a difference now in the future just because of your expertise and giving that guidance to high school students. So that is just beyond amazing. Yeah, and so what about your greatest success in the field? When have you felt, aha, this is it, this is my moment?
I mean, I think the aha moment was when I designed my whole montage of the study based on the resting state MRI. And I did from starting, like literally like scratch. I met with my PI and he was like, okay, this is what you want to do. And I sat in, you know, I did it till end. That was that aha moment that I can do it. I can actually right now start my own studies end to end, independently thinking of how doing it and run it. And that was the aha moment that, okay, I am going to have my own lab and I'm going to have a lot of my projects because I have a lot of questions that I can answer them if I just started. So that was my aha moment when I did the research study end to end.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, completing that research study, figuring out, like finding your results and then getting that question answered, it brings up so many more questions, but it also gives you the knowledge to answer them, right? So that's yeah, simply brilliant. Okay, so I had a couple of other questions, but I think you've kind of answered them in your other answers. So that's great. We can skip over those and we can go to the final, like ending question. So as you know, like our podcast is a little bit about spreading awareness about biotechnology fields and innovations to students around the globe. So for those students, what advice would you give those young people looking to pursue a career or research in your field or in other interdisciplinary fields in STEM?
Okay. So biotechnology is basically what is going on in the core mother science. So I think the branches of biotechnology is very diverse. Even like bioinformatics can be a branch of biotechnology, but drug discovery is something that we cannot like even forget about what biotechnology is playing a major impact. I would say 15 years ago, 20 years ago, drug discovery needed to take at least 10 years to, you know, to test, to run. But now with the help of chemoinformatics and drug discovery, they make the drug using simulation. They do an interaction with protein using ligand and look at the side effect and interaction. So drug discovery, biotechnology helped the drug discovery to move to a different era. So if you want to pursue biotechnology, thinking of how you can evolve the computational drug discovery and then implemented on vivo and in vitro is a different thing that you can think of. The other one that I think future is very much dependent is genome alteration in biotechnology. So a lot of kids, a lot of, I think one of the sad things is that when you inform a parent who are going to be the first time for a parent that the kids are going to be born, going to have some genetic issues, you know, it's really heartbreaking. And on the other hand, the only way to do that is for them to decide either have a disabled kid that has some genetic issues, that it comes to two categories. Either the kid will live for a long period of time with that genetic disorder, or unfortunately, it's kind of a rare one and you're going to lose a child. Or from starting, they give them an option of abortion, which we know with all this blood politics issues is becoming another issue on top of the current issue. But if we can have the genetic testing, identifying the gene's expression and modify an alteration of that genome and DNA in the womb, it, I think, will be the greatest discovery in the field of biotechnology.
Cool. So like the CRISPR, right? I think that technology is in development right now, the Cas9 CRISPR. Yeah, I think that's.
I think that is something that kind of changes the concept of life,
right?
Giving a chance to so many kids to have, you know, a normal life like any other kid, and also a chance to their parents to have a healthy kid. Right. So I think that is something that amazing. The another thing that biotechnology does is, again, coming with very specific drugs for every subgroup. Because right now, when they design a drug, it's for a specific patient that suffers from specific kind of cancer. But guess, maybe in addition to that cancer, that person has some other subvariant of disease that that medication will impact, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of creating the biomarker and giving specific medication for everyone. Like my Tylenol will be different from your Tylenol, because when I use Tylenol, that drug will ligand with a specific protein in my body that not only help with the headache, but gives me a stomach ache, you know?
Right.
So avoiding the side effect to creating standards, personalized medication for everyone. Then the next one in the field of biotechnology will be, again, alteration of the genome. When you are an adult and you're prone to be diagnosed in future, for some, you know, like a cancer, like breast cancer or uterus cancer, or like any other cancer. But I think that genome alteration, the moment that's identified, will be able to do something in order to avoid it or delay. It's going to be another impactful kind of use of technology for our life. But it's moving, it's growing, it's extraordinary. Right. Powerful science. Doesn't matter what sub-branch of biotechnology you pick up, there's a lot of growth and future for that. So I want to tell your audience that do your own study, because again, like doing, I want to do biotechnology, it's not the aim. What you are trying to solve when you are entering into the field of biotechnology is the question. So I want them to dive in and is it going to be at the genome level? Is it going to be at drug discovery, biomarkers, neurodegenerative disease, cancer expression? So go dive in a little bit and see which area you are interested and you think you want to have impact in the future.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. It's all about impact, right? Find a problem you want to solve, use your knowledge, apply it, and try and find a solution to that problem. I think that's all impact is, and it's making major differences in biotechnology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for being on this podcast. I know it went on a little bit long, but hopefully that was okay for you. I think our audience will love having you here on our podcast and hearing from you. So before we leave today, is there anything else you'd like to say to our audience as a final words?
Follow your passion for science, for the passion and not for the degree, please.
Awesome. Cool. Short and simple. Thank you so much and have a great day. We'll see you all next time, MedTalkers.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.